Okay, again, my name is Larry, recovering addict. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Ryan R., and his home group is Wednesday Night Principles. Pardon me?
Wednesday Night Principles first.
Oh, forgot to write that.
That's all right, it's too late.
I'm an addict. My name's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
I want to thank the committee for inviting me to do this. It's an honor. It's humbling. And I hate it. I hate it. I do. This is my least favorite thing. I was talking with a friend this morning, and he's celebrating 17 years today. And we were just talking about how crazy good life is, right? Like, life is pretty amazing. We were just talking about, you know, the vast difference of what our lives have become compared to what they were, and neither of us are millionaires, and you know, we don't have all the stuff that you can get in life, but our lives are full and they're happy and they're good, you know, and that's the main thing to remember for me. I was making breakfast this morning before I drove up here, and thinking about what I used to have for breakfast when I was using. You know what I had for breakfast? Heroin. That's what I had for breakfast. I had it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, morning snack, afternoon snack, late night snack. That's all I had. You know, if I was lucky, I had a couple bucks to get a dollar menu at McDonald's, or I'd steal some candy bars from a convenience store. But it was in that moment, you know, I was making my breakfast, I was grounded, I just got done meditating my morning routine, and you know, life felt good. That's it. It wasn't perfect, it wasn't amazing, it wasn't anything but good. And that's all I really want. That's all I really want out of life, is just to be good, you know, and just be okay. And so I was doing my best not to over focus on steps 10, 11, 12. You know, I have some experience. Also, my sponsor would like me to tell you guys that I've been working through the steps again. I've been on step 10 again for the past 4 years. So, you know, it is what it is. It's my program, not yours. And so, here's the thing, like, as far as working steps, sitting down with the sponsor and reviewing steps, that's one thing. But applying the steps to my life is something completely different. And I find that all the steps are valuable, but 10, 11, 12 are most practical in my day-to-day, right? It's, I'm working a 10-step all day, because I'm thinking about, like, did I cause harm? Do I need to make amends? Did I connect with someone in recovery? Did I connect with my higher power? You know, just the basic questions that we think about when we're working the 10th step, they just come naturally to me, because it's a part of my routine. It's a part of my process. It's something that I'm thinking about all the time. And there's a line in the 10th step in our basic text, and I'm not a huge literature guy. I don't memorize the book. I can't tell you what page it's on. I know it's in the 10th step. But there's a word in the step that's most important to me, okay? It's when we were wrong. For a long time, when I first got clean, I thought I had to be perfect. That being in recovery was perfection. That I couldn't make mistakes, that I would never cause harm again, that I was living these principles in all of my affairs. And I didn't understand that we're human, right? I didn't understand that I could be human, I could be fallible, I could make mistakes. So in the basic text, there's a sentence that has five words in it. We will never be perfect, ever, period. We will never be perfect. And so as I was working this step the first time, you know, my sponsor had me writing on it every day, sitting down. You know, he wanted me to get 30 days straight, every day sitting down, writing on it. I couldn't get 30 days straight. I would get 20 some days, and then I'd miss a day, and I'd have to start over. You know, that's just how we work the step. And eventually, after about 9 months, I got 30 days straight. And in doing that, it ingrained in me the principles behind this step. You know, it's commitment, it's dedication, it's vigilance, it's vigilance. It's looking at myself and my actions and just seeing how my day was, right? And I can coast through a day with not looking at any of that stuff. I can just coast through my day because we're so busy. I'm so busy. I work. I have three kids. You know what I mean? I'm involved in stuff. And, you know, if you would have told me when I first got clean that I was going to have to be this responsible, I might not have stuck around. You know, I... It's kind of overwhelming at times, just the responsibility of life, but, you know, that's what comes with it. That's what comes with being clean, staying clean, working a program. I don't do anything perfectly. Like I was saying, I try my best. At the end of the day, that's all I can do. You know, I lay my head down at night, and can I say, you know, I did my best today? Most days, yeah, I did my best today. Some days, I'm like, no, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm gonna have to do something about it tomorrow. You know, I think my biggest challenge in life right now is my kids. I have a 10-year-old that's exactly like me that I want to choke out 90% of the time. You know, she tests my patience on a completely different level. You know, and it is what it is, and it's because she's me. I see me in her. I see the behaviors, the manipulation, the little me, and I hate it. You know, but that's part of the process too, right? And I was driving up here at 1 hour and 45 minutes to try not to think about this on the drive up here. And you know, I think that the 10th step is what allows me to stay connected, centered in the middle. It keeps me connected to me and the people around me. And you know, it's a checklist for my daily life. And you know, we work the steps in an order. We work the steps in an order because one step helps us spiritually prepare for the next step, right? And so going from 10 into 11, now early on, I had like a year clean, and I took a suggestion that someone said I should try meditating. You know, when I first got clean, I still wanted to kill myself. It wasn't like I got clean and everything was happy, right? And all my problems went away and everything was perfect, and all the stuff of life had gone. Like, I still hated myself. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to keep getting high. But I know that taking suggestions and doing some things that were uncomfortable to me, that I didn't want to do, were going to help me. And so I started to pray and I started to do all that. And at about a year clean, I took a suggestion to start meditating. And that's the thing. We can apply the principles of the steps long before we're on that step. You know, there's nothing in our literature that says we can't start practicing the principles in later steps today, right? And with some guidance of a sponsor and some guys around me that had more experience than I did, I took that suggestion. And here's what I know about meditation. It's personal, right? It's what works for me and not works for you. You know, it's about what I can practice routinely, what I can put into my daily life, when I want to put it into my daily life, and what that looks like. You know, that's one of the great freedoms we have here. Like, I can choose my own higher power. I can choose how I talk to that higher power. I can choose how I get centered, right? And so I was really bad at it at first, right? Because I'm the type of person that my mind doesn't shut off, like just constant thoughts. Like as soon as it got quiet, just like crazy shit left and right. And what I learned early on was it was less about keeping my brain quiet and more about letting those thoughts die a natural death. Just thought would come and just let it go. Thought would come and just let it go. And maybe in a 5-minute period, I'd have about 30 seconds of quiet, but that's 30 seconds more quiet than I had before that, right? And so, you know, I'll share with you guys like my routine for it, because like I said at the beginning, it was a struggle and I couldn't get into a good routine with it. I have to focus on my breath. I have to focus on my body. I have to sit still and no distractions around me, right? That's commitment. That's dedication. That's practice. You know, we practice these principles. And so, I remained vigilant and dedicated, and I did it. And I did it routinely. And I started seeing the benefits. It's the same thing with prayer. Like, I fought the idea and the concept of a higher power and prayer, and I didn't want to hear any of it. You guys were telling me, you know, this is a spiritual program, but I knew you were going to drop a bomb on me one day. Like, yeah, it's spiritual, but really, you got to believe this. You know, you've been clean long enough, now you got to believe this. And that never came. And so I was able to develop my own experience and connect to a God of my understanding. And I choose to call it God. I don't know what that God is. I know that I see that God in my everyday life. I see it in you guys. I see it in my kids. I see it all around me if I'm looking for it. How can I best look for it and see it? Is by practicing these principles, meditating, staying connected, and staying centered. And that's what I think 10, 11, 12 is for me. It's keeping me centered and connected. So the 11th step prepared me for 12. And there's two parts of 12 for me. The first part is, you know, making myself available, right? Putting myself in position to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And like we shared before me, how do I do that best? Well, I got to show up. I got to show up at meetings. I got to show up for service. I got to show up here when I don't want to. You know, that's putting myself in position and making myself available. The second part of this, and I think this is the harder part of it, is practicing these principles in all my affairs, right? That is by far the hardest part of the 12th step. Because in 6 and 7, I learned I have defects. I can still be a fucking asshole. You know what I mean? Like, I can do things that are going to cause some harm, and I can do things that are going to make me feel bad later. And I don't want to do that anymore. You know, when I worked 10 the first time, it was much easier. When I worked 8 and 9 the first time, it was much easier because it was stuff I had done when I was using. It was easy to write that stuff off. When I did 8 and 9 again, well, that was the stuff that I did clean, right? That was the stuff that I had no excuse for other than, you know, I acted on some defect. So step 10 helps me to keep that stuff in perspective. It helps me address it pretty immediately. Step 11 helps me get okay with myself, right? It helps me be okay with me and the people around me. My life circumstance, you know, all the stuff that I'll focus on to say I'm a victim or my life's shit or I should have this or I should do that. Like, all that stuff that doesn't matter, 11 grounds me. Excuse me. And then 12 gets me giving back. Giving back and then living a principled life. Am I perfect? No. Like I told you, the 10th step says I will never be perfect. Do I try my best? Yeah, I do. I do. Am I a perfect father? No. I don't even know what the hell that would look like, but no, I'm not a perfect father. My goal, right, my kind of daily goal is to not cause harm, to be a good father, son, friend, husband, right, and to be present. Like, just simple things like that, and then connect to the God of my understanding. If I can do those simple things in a day, then life is pretty good. The 11th step also talks about enforced morality will never, anybody know the sentence? Enforced morality will never bring us the connection that we need as living a spiritual life. Something along those lines, right? So the enforced morality part was something that has always stuck out with me. You know, as a kid, you were telling me that I had to act a certain way, and I grew up in a specific religion. You know, I did the whole thing early on, and I realized that I didn't want to hear, and it wasn't for me. Like, I was a 10-year-old kid smoking cigarettes in the church basement. You know, I'd sneak out of, like, Bible study and go smoke a cigarette at 10 years old. You know, and the concept of enforced morality was always pushing me in the opposite direction. That's just how I was. That, you know, you're trying to tell me to do one thing, and I wasn't okay with it, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, I learned morality, I learned principled life by showing up here, by going to meetings, by calling men and women in my life, by, you know, pausing before I act, you know. And it's hard to talk about 10, 11, 12 without talking about the prior steps, right? Because they're all tied in. But that pause I learned from 6 and 7, that pause where I can have a thought and then I can take a breath and I don't have to act on that shortcoming. And, you know, it's about continuing on. It's about continuing to show up when I don't want to. It's about admitting when I'm wrong promptly. It's about just trying to be the best me. Right? And if I keep it that simple, it's pretty easy for me. If I just continue to show up, if I put myself in position, if I keep doing the things that are suggested of me, yeah, I've been on 10 again for 4 years. I'll get back to 11. Does being stuck on 10 prevent me from practicing the principles of 11? No. Does it prevent me from meditating and staying connected with my higher power? No. You know, when I first got clean, I gauged my recovery by how long you had clean and what step you were on. So if, you know, you had a couple months less than me and you're on a step ahead of me, you're like, oh shit, I got to work more steps because I'm falling behind. You know, I didn't recognize that it wasn't a race, that it was about living these principles. It was about practicing them, and it was about just getting better. And so I think that's all I got. I'm going to spare you guys the heat. I want to thank the committee again. I'm an addict. My name is Ryan.
Hey.